Father, as we come, we are mindful that we are here to worship, that we are here to attend to you, to express our gratitude, our thanks, our love, our appreciation. And so, Father, we ask that you would find our worship acceptable, Lord. We worship by singing, by our presence, by giving, by listening, and by being obedient. Heavenly Father, you chose the Virgin Mary to be the mother of our Lord and Savior. And so now, Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your grace, that like her we may accept your holy will. And so, Lord, we ask that you would purify our hearts and our minds, that when your Son Christ comes again in glory, he may find a home prepared for himself. He who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now, we're in the season of Advent. We're on the fourth Sunday. We've dealt with themes of, do you remember? Themes of hope, joy, peace. And this morning we're going to look at love. The fourth Sunday of Advent. And so I want to ask if you would imagine with me a family. A family eagerly preparing. Preparing for the arrival of a family member they haven't seen for a long time. Somebody that's been abroad. Or in another town. Or just hasn't been able to visit for whatever reason. And so what happens is the house is cleaned. Favorite meals are prepared. And everyone eagerly awaits the arrival of the guest or guests. And so I want to remind you that today and Advent is a season of preparation. And it's not just a preparation for Christmas, for Wednesday, but for the actual return of Christ, the second coming. And so today we reflect on the theme of love, which is actually the foundation of our preparation. It's what it's all about. What all this preparation, this hustle and bustle is about. To prepare for the coming of our Lord. And so we'll explore how God's love revealed in Jesus Christ transforms us and can transform us into a community of love that bears witness to his presence. I'd like you to turn with me or look on the screen at 1 John chapter 4 from verse 7 to 21. I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 4 from verse 7 to 21. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God, on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, He is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now, if I were to ask you, do you remember the text? It's a long text. But what is it about? You've heard the word love several times. I'm going to focus on the first six verses, verses 7 to 12, and then we look at verse 17 as well. The first thing we need to understand that the author's keen for us to know is that love is from God. In other words, God is love's source. Love comes from God. All true love flows from God. Without him, there is no love. Well, some people may disagree with that. You say, well, surely there are people who don't know God and love. They love their children. They love their nation, their neighbors. There are people who are not Christians who love. And there are people who deny God. Surely they also love? Is God really the source of love? Well, this is what the author wants us to understand. And that God is the all love is from God. That God is the source of true love. You see, because there's something that appears to be love, but is not really love. I love you. And if any man comes between us, is that love? I love you, but if you come home pregnant, I'm putting you out. Is that love? Well, we need to ask ourselves, what is love? Because it can appear confusing. When we see people who, in the name of love, commit atrocities because they love. In the name of God, they kill thousands. Do I need to add innocent people? Does it make a difference? This is what the text says. Verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Think about that. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So does that mean that something doesn't sound right to me? Everyone who loves has been born of God. Because many people say they love, but they are clearly not born of God. And so then we have to question, is this true love? And what is love? And how would I know if it is love? Because just we know that just because somebody says something doesn't mean it is like that. Husbands, you can say, well, maybe you've said, I love you before you when you asked to get married. But when last did you tell your wife that you love her? Or wives? When last did you tell your husband he's wonderful? Don't look so surprised. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And so John emphasizes that love comes from God because it is his very nature. To love others is to reflect God's character. And so if we were to explain love, it's not about being agreeable. It's not about being nice or turning a blind eye, making as if you don't know or don't see. You see, love has the courage to die. That's not a wishy-washy kind of love, sort of a whatever, let's do what's convenient. I don't want to be in an uncomfortable situation, nor do I want to have uncomfortable conversations. Love has the courage to die. I want you to think of the sun, the source of light and warmth. God is the source of love. Without the sun, light, life would cease. I put it to you that by the Spirit of God, we have a revelation that without God, there is no love. And so we need to ask ourselves, does your love to others reflect your relationship with God? As a church, do we reflect His love to our community? Is there a tangible, is there a witness? I started by saying that God is love's source. But if we were to ask what is real love, we see that God's love is demonstrated, is shown, is made manifest, is revealed in Christ. In fact, Jesus is love in action. If you look at his life, everything about Christ is love in action. God's love is not just words. It's demonstrated through Jesus. It's demonstrated through his life, through his death on the cross, and through his resurrection. Very often people would say, I'm in love. You know, I'm in love with you. Does that mean you can fall out of love? But think of loving. I love you. I'm committed to you. It's more than, love is more than just a feeling. God's love is not just words. And so if we look at the text, we see that this is what it says. This is how God showed his love among us. This is how God demonstrated his love. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might have life through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Propitiation. There's God's anger, God's wrath had to be appeased. And we say, really? Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes we think of, I don't have that picture of God. I was speaking to someone at Micah, and I was talking to her, and she was saying that, talking about church, and then I invited her, and she said, no, do you have the Bible in your church? I said, yes. Do you preach from the Bible? I said, yes. Do you speak about it? I said, yes. She said, no, then I can't come. I said, why not? She said, well, I don't believe that. Because my culture doesn't, that's not culturally relevant. This is a different, that's not, we have our God. No, I spoke a bit more to her, and she was saying how they meet in Paul somewhere, and that they have fellowship without the Bible, just reflecting on God. Saying that God has always been around. Of course God has always been around. And God reveals himself in all cultures. But we have the privilege and the blessing of having the revelation from God that God sent his Son. And that makes all the difference. That supersedes all other understanding of God. And so very often our understanding of someone or something can be partial. And I believe in this case, where those people come together and they worship together, but they don't have a full revelation and understanding of God. We have been made privileged to the revelation of God. God has sent his Son to reveal him, to reveal his nature, his character, that he is love. And also to demonstrate that love. So God's love is not abstract. It's not hypothetical. It's not culture dependent. It's active. It's sacrificial. It's redemptive. It saves. And so Jesus coming into the world and his sacrifice on the cross are the ultimate expression, is the ultimate expression of God's love. As an illustration of Paul, where he, in the New Testament, it speaks of Paul's sacrificial love. Well, he says the words, and I'm going to read it to you. But it speaks about his willingness to sacrifice everything for the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, he says, so I will gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. I will gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. He does add another thing, he's asking them because of the issue at hand there. If I love you more, will you love me less? See, Paul faced hardships. He faced beatings, imprisonment, rejection. But because of his unwavering love for God and the people that he served, he continued, despite their lack of appreciation or their reciprocation at times, Paul was committed to sharing the gospel, nurturing their faith, interceding for them in prayer. And so Paul's example shows us a love, a commitment, a giving of oneself fully for the sake of others, even when that love is not reciprocated. Because sometimes we can feel, so we're doing all this for, let's call it the community, or for everybody out there. But what do they do? Do they even appreciate it? If we give them, then they've got more money for things that actually take them further down. They've got more money to spend on booze and smokes and whatever, drugs. I want you to think about it. You see, for a congregation, this kind of sacrificial love must translate into loving and serving the community around us. And it must translate into doing something selflessly, not to increase members. And not to get more members so we can get more money. Think of the preparation of that family for the loved one who they long to see and have fellowship with. That's what it's about. Preparing for Christ's return. You see, Paul's focus was on the eternal salvation of others. And so that challenges us, it points us, or causes us to prioritize our focus on spiritual growth and the mission of spreading God's love. And that can't be done in isolation. It can't be done when you're at home. It's done in community. It's done when you're involved in some way. And so as we reflect on Jesus' love, on his life, I'm hoping that it would inspire gratitude, that it would, as it were, compel us to love sacrificially. And so maybe we can start by asking the question, who in your life needs to experience God's love through you? Who in your life, who in your sphere of influence needs to experience God's love through you? We started this talk by speaking about God being the source of love, that Jesus being love in action. And now, our response to this love. You see, we are love's reflection. Or we should be. God's love reaches others when we love one another as he loves us. This is what the text says. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. In other words, God's love reaches full expression when it flows through his people. And our love for people is evidence of God's presence in our lives. I want you to think of a lamp. I don't want to turn it into your face, but you can see the light here. It's connected to a power source. The lamp doesn't produce light on its own. It must remain connected to shine. We need to remain connected to love. We need to abide in Christ. We need him to abide in us. And his promise is to abide in us. You see, the challenge comes when we do not abide in him. He's always willing and ready, always. That's his promise, to abide in us. We must be connected to God to love others, for the love to come through, for it to shine. And so we need to ask the question of ourselves as a community, how does our congregation, how do we embody God's love? How do we shine? I'm not talking about individuals now, but as a congregation. And maybe we need to ask, what would our community look like if we lived this life? This life of love every day. If we look at verse 17, because now I'm jumping all the others and I've dealt with verses 7 to 12. But verse 17 says, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. I must have read this book. I said this several times. And all of a sudden, I said, what? That's it? In this world, we are like Jesus? That's what it says. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. You see, verse 17 connects God's love to our confidence before God. It's the reason we can have confidence before God on the day of judgment. And I want to put it to you that if you do not have confidence concerning the day of judgment, then we need to start questioning, do I experience God's love? Or is all that awaits for me fearful judgment? And so if you look at that first part, this is how love is made complete among us. It refers to God's love reaching its goal or maturity when it's lived out amongst believers. I've already pointed out that love is not a feeling. It's active. It's a relational reality that reflects God's love in and through us. And this completeness, the completeness of this love is demonstrated in a life which is aligned with God's will and God's purpose. And so I would challenge someone that's living a life, that's living his life or her life, apart from God's purpose, whether they really understand and experience God's love. The next part, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Again, this confidence is not rooted in self-righteousness or something that we've done to earn it, but because of the transformative power of God's love. Because believers abide in God and His love abides in them, they are assured of their standing before Him. And that phrase, in this world we are like Jesus, it speaks to our identity, the believer's identity and calling to reflect Jesus' character. Just as Jesus embodied God's love perfectly, believers are to live out His love in the world. And this includes living a life, a selfless life, sacrificially, sacrificial love towards others, just as Christ did. And so when love is perfected, it drives out fear. There's no fear of judgment or punishment. That part, like Jesus, to be like Jesus in this world means that believers live lives, should live lives, marked by humility, forgiveness, and service. And it is as we live in that humility, in that forgiveness, and in that service that we bring or that we bear witness to God and to His kingdom. The fact that His kingdom has come and that we are expecting the fulfillment, the realization, the full realization of that kingdom when Christ returns. I want to ask you, in what ways am I reflecting Jesus to others? It's a question we need to ask ourselves. In what ways am I reflecting Jesus to others? Do I need to forgive? Do I actually need to notice the vulnerable people that are suffering? Do I need to move into uncomfortable situations to share God's love? I've got still much that I've written, but I don't think it's really necessary now. I think if we were to remember that God is love's source, that Jesus is love in action, and that we ought to reflect that love. That's it. Pretty simple. And so I want to ask you, encourage you, call you up to action, as it were, to commit to loving others in practical and sacrificial ways. To ask questions about how we as the church can be a greater witness to God's love. And that we would prepare for Christ's return by living in His love daily. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, you considered it okay to leave your glory behind, to take the form of a man, to become human, not just to identify with us, but to be with us, to dwell with us. Lord, grant that we may experience your love, that we may see and understand it. Lord, I'm not asking that we would feel it, because our feelings, I know, change, Lord. There's an ebb and flow to feelings which is not sufficient for such a great thing as love. But Lord, when we get your revelation, when we understand it, may we live it, Lord. May we have full confidence in all your promises. Firstly, in your promise to abide in us. And that invitation, which is always there for us to abide in you. So Lord, help us to strengthen our resolve, our commitment to you. Lord, I want to pray a special blessing on everyone here today, Lord. I especially think of our visitors here. People that may have entered this building for the very first time. Lord, may they experience your love. May they come into the fullness of your kingdom. Lord, would you bless them? Would you touch their hearts? And Lord, for us, would you help us to be sensitive to the needs of others? Thank you, Lord, that you see each one of us, that you know each one of us intimately, that you have called us by name, and that you are waiting for us to respond to your call. Amen.
Amen. Our last song we will sing together. When we love, everything will be well. Our souls will be well.
Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Yes.
The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.